Hold on, man. We out here. Uh-oh. Yeah. What up, good people? Welcome to another episode of the Strategically Reckless Podcast. I am your host, Jay Brown, a.k.a. your favorite foster dad, a.k.a. Mr. 710. And we are joining you once again. Wow. Mia, what up, though? Hey, I want to thank everybody for tuning in via Facebook Live, Instagram Live, YouTube Live. And I want to welcome everybody that might be listening on TikTok. This is brand new for me. Shout out to this TikTok Live. I ain't know. It was going to be a minute before I got there, but I'm here now. We ready to rock and roll. Y'all getting the behind the scenes look at it. But for everybody else, they got a real background other than this green joint. We also want to give a shout out to everybody that's listening via iHeartRadio, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever it is that you get your podcast. Thank you for tuning in. Thank you. I want to welcome everybody. Shout out to everybody that's tuning in on TikTok. We out here. Y'all dope. But on tonight's show, we're going to be talking about potty training adventures, funky situations, kneeling at weddings, and we're going to get a little Super Bowl talk in here before we get out of here. You know what I'm saying? Go ahead and tap that screen, hit those likes. I appreciate everybody for tuning in. That is dope. But look, I'm not even going to waste no time. I'm not going to keep everybody tonight. You get a free night off from football. But check this out. Man, oh man, oh man. So I'm a foster parent, right? My wife and I, we foster parents. And we have a 1 and a 2-year-old right now. We have a 1 and 2-year-old and we've already potty trained the 2-year-old. So we know how this works. We done been here before. We know how the potty train game works. And so this is what happened. So this is not our first set of toddlers. We done had babies before and we've potty trained them. You know what I'm saying? And so I look at the situation like, all right, we have something that's going to work. We have a method. Potty training boot camp. And when then we set the boot camp up, we ready to rock and roll. And potty training boot camp for us is we just going no diaper. We take the diaper off and we bring out the potty and we gonna keep it going. Like when you tell me you gotta go, we gonna send you. When you get done eating, you going to sit on the potty. And usually it takes a weekend, if not two, to make that work. Kenneth the Golfer, what up though? And this time we thinking that we in good shape. You know what I'm saying? Like we are in good shape. She's asked to use the potty on multiple occasions. This is the second go around, to be honest with you. We gave up the first time because she just wasn't ready. She was set up on the toilet, and I guess it was either too high or she didn't have the technical control that she was wanting to have. And so she was holding it and holding herself up while she was holding it and never used the bathroom. All right, cool, whatever. This weekend was our second attempt on making this happen. And when I tell you, we were excited because we were like, this is going to be the time we're going to stop having to buy diapers and only the overnight joints. We're going to stop having to buy diapers because we're going to have both of these little ones potty trained. And they're sisters. Saturday, we get up. Boom. Diaper off. Hey, you ready? Are you ready? Diaper off. Bam, potty's out. Diaper all, potty's out. We ready to rock and roll. Go ahead and sit down. What's up, Kelly Gate? Adriana, what up, though? We put her on the potty. She sit there for about 15 minutes, start playing. She want to get up, boom. All right, you can play. As soon as she gets up, pee on the floor. Damn. All right, we messed up that time. All right, so this is our teaching part. Baby, you gotta put this in the potty. In the potty. And listen, if y'all have a way in order to that y'all potty train y'all kids, if you parents, go ahead and put that in the chat room. If you got your own boot camp ways to do it, put that in the chat. Cause right now, this little girl peed on everything except for the potty. Myself and our dog. She didn't pee on those are three things that she did not pee on. Everything else got a little bit of that, got a little bit of pee on it. I'm talking about our whole living room smell like pee. I'm talking about every time we would feed her and then we would set her on the potty. She would sit there for a while and then boom, pee. She would sit there for a while and hold it. She'd just be holding it. And I'm like, I'm trying to give a little song. We playing the pee songs. We letting water. We giving the water. Trying to make it happen. And she just sitting there like, da, 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 da. Nope. I'm not doing anything you say. Until she lean up. She would lean up to get a toy. Pee. Right down her leg on the floor. All right, we figured she got it out, so we'll wipe her up. Give it a little spill again. Hey, this goes in the potty. In the potty. She get up and start playing. Pee. Come on, man. We not going to do this. And here's my problem. Eric Smith, what's happening? I smell everything. So if there's a little pee in the carpet that we done tried to clean up, but it ain't all the way, because you know how that goes. You done been to somebody's house that smell like pee. whether it was when you was younger or as an adult, you know what I'm talking about. You done seen mattresses that smell like pee. It made me mad. Like, smell ruined my attitude. And at this point, like, we're still like, we got to deploy the potty training tactics. All potty training tactics be deployed. And we're thinking that we're gonna get it. We started to give up. Right before bed, she lets off a few drops in the toilet and in the little potty, and I lost it. Woo, woo, yeah. Yeah, let's go get you some candy. We went to the top of the ladder. I might have celebrated too much. Cause I was like, after all of that, I felt like I won. Any of the bowlers in there, look, you go all game and then you finally get a carry. You get a strike to go. You excited. We went all day and we finally got a couple drops in there. I'm like, yo, this happened. Appreciate you, Mark. CP, we done broke through. So Sunday, we get up and it's boot camp all over again. Snatch the diaper off, put it down there. Bam. Now her diaper, here's the crazy part. We got up in the morning. Her whole diaper was full. She peed all night. I don't even know how she had anything left. She peed all night. We get up, put her on the potty. Are we going to be more regimented? Our game plan, be more regimented. And so every 15 minutes, she had to sit on the toilet. But every 16 minutes, she peed. That was the bad part. Soon as she got up, she peed. And we kept her on the toilet one time for about 25, 30 minutes. And she finally dropped the biggest deuce. She dropped a super deuce, right? It smells so bad. And I'm thinking, like, at this point, I'm charged up again. Yeah! Oh, yeah, girl. That's how you do it. That's how you do it. Yeah. Go ahead and take some of this candy. You dropped a deuce. I'm so glad. You good job. Good job. Woo woo. Listen, man, when I tell you, she goes and gets up, start playing while she eating that candy. She's not finished. Now, I made her sit on the toilet for about 5 minutes after she dropped the big deuce. She still sat there for another 5 or 10 minutes. Usually, I just thought she was done. She wasn't done. She wasn't done. She out here dropping loads on the floor. Dropping loads on the floor, like, come on, man. Like, the pee was one thing. They're dropping the whole loads on the floor. That's a whole nother situation, man. And you was just sitting down, like, she would pee and poop on the floor, in the potty is one step away from her. Like, it's right there. What's up, Terry? How you living? I don't understand it. Like, yo, the potty's right here. You know, you just got rewarded. How are you not going back to this well to get some more candy? Like, this is a thought process. You like this candy, don't you? Didn't work. It did not work. And here's the bad part. She won. About 2:30, we threw a diaper on her. We was like, you know what? Uh-uh. To hell with all of this. I don't want to clean up no more pee. I change the diaper all day. I guess we gonna have to keep buying diapers for another 2 or 3 months until she figure out that she don't like to have poop and be wet all the time. That was, man, that made for a long weekend. Like, I was tired all weekend. And so she won. She won. That made me mad because I don't like kids to win. I also don't like for my house to be funky. And if it was going to be, this is what it was going to end up being, was funky. If we had just kept going at it, because she was not going, she was determined not to poop. She's determined not to poop. Go ahead and drop some likes in there. If you've ever had to help potty train a kid and you've done it successfully, please put how you did it in the chat. Please put how you did it, because we need some help with this one. The first two kids we did was easy. One weekend, bam, bam, it was good. I need some help. I'm not afraid to admit that I need some help. Speaking of needing some help, I need some help with this. If there's somebody in your presence who got funky breath, how do you tell them? How do you go about having those uncomfortable conversations with people? Especially when it comes to something like something that's on their person, whether their shoes stink or a wig is pushed to the side and not right, or just somebody's whole body stink. How do you have those conversations? Do you tell them or do you just laugh at them? Because I was faced with that on Thursday. On Thursday, there was a situation where there was some high-level body odor. There was some high-level body odor, and nobody said anything to this person. Now, the bad thing was, this person, they don't do a whole lot of talking. This person is not in the in crowd in that way. But they're not a bad bowler. Not a bad person from what I know. Ain't never done nothing to me. But I don't know if we cool enough for me to pull them to the side and be like, hey fam, you don't smell good right now and everybody talking about you. We not that cool. I feel like I'm a cool person, But sometimes it's not the messenger. I mean, it's not the message, it's the messenger. And sometimes it got to come from that person, the person that they rock with. It should come from one of their teammates that if you're not right, they should be able to tell you. Now, at the bowling alley, I've already put up some videos about, hey, if I know that you don't wash your hands, you would not get a five or a dap from me. We're at Holiday Doubles, and I dapped somebody on their forearm. And dude looked at me like, what was that? You dirty, cuz. Like, I know this. We was in there. I was handling my business. I went to the sink. You was in there. I saw you. We made eye contact, and you just left. You get no dap from me. I don't do the wiener fingers, buddy. You don't get no dap from me. But Buddy was right. Buddy was right this week. And I'm talking about, it was a different kind of right. Like, when you somebody that can smell everything, like, it's bad. It was that bad. Like, I worked with a girl, I could smell when her cycle came on. Yeah, not intentionally. Like, this was the problem. This is the problem. I don't like this. It's a gift and a curse. Like, if I'm out in the woods, you're not just gonna run up on me if you stink. But how do you have those conversations? Like, if somebody took their shoes off near me and their shoes smell like Fritos, I could say, hey, you know what'll help you with those shoes? Here's what you gotta do. Take the whole sole out. Take the laces out. Set that whole shoe on fire. And then go get you some more. Those shoes are dead. Those are over with. When it smells like that, it's time to take it out to the pasture and shoot it. It's a wrap. Those shoes ain't gonna work no more. I've thrown away shoes that's been solid because they didn't smell good. You can't just have that on your body because it's going to come out. It's going to come up. And you be like, why does my ankle stink? That's why. Your ankle stink because your shoes stink. Why your ankle's itching? Why your Achilles itching? Because your shoes stink. That's how that works. I ain't trying to be no hater. I'm just saying. You can't just be ripe like that. Everybody, look, it's bad when everybody can smell it. It's rough. It's that rough. What up, Pop? Listen, but yeah, how do y'all have those type of conversations when it comes down to, hey, appreciate the like, OG Red Shark. Like, when somebody smells that bad, and you gotta be the one to say, hey, come here, fam. Let me holler at you for a minute because you're not right. You're not right. Shout out to everybody tuning in on TikTok. Y'all getting the behind the scenes of the Strategically Reckless podcast recording. This is what you're able to see why you got the green screen back here. The people on Instagram Live, Facebook Live, YouTube Live, they all getting the background, the Strategically Reckless background. But I appreciate everybody for tuning in. This is what we're going to do on Mondays. On Wednesdays, we'll be live bowling. On Thursdays, we'll probably be live bowling. Chaka-ka! But look, that was bad. It was that bad. It was so bad that there was somebody talking about it today and wondering why there was not a conversation that was had amongst family. I mean, let me ask you this. If Mike Tyson was your friend and he didn't smell good, would you tell him? Would you tell Mike? Hey, Mike. Fam, let me holler at you for a minute. Now, you're not going to like this, but I'm trying to help you. You stay today. You're a little rough today. What up, Maria? How you living? What's up, Carmelita? And so, that's rough. That's real. That's rough. Another thing that was rough. You know what? I'm kind of interested to hear how this whole thing gets taken. But at the same time, knowing what I know about how this comedian, like this is the year of comedians airing out beefs and struggles and stuff like that. And last week, Corey Holcomb he was talking about his daughter. Corey Holcomb was talking about his daughter, and the way he was talking about her to the co-host was pretty rough. It was stuff that I would never say about any of these kids that we've had come up in here, regardless of, and it doesn't matter what I feel about them. I just couldn't see myself saying such things. I'm talking about, hey, my daughter ain't shit, and this and that, or my daughter don't, you know, she don't deserve, she don't know nothing, she just like her mama, and this and that, like, wow! That's heavy now. That's pretty heavy. And so, I guess he got a lot of backlash from it, and, you know, that was a time in which, all right, he was proud of her, but at the same time, like when you have a scenario in which you have you got a platform, but you're talking about your family and stuff like that. Like people look at, hey, where were you when she was getting all this parenting that you don't necessarily approve of? And you can blame the mom. But you also got to make better decisions on what to do with your ding-a-ling. I mean, she could be a funky whatever now, but at that time, she wasn't. And you raw dogged it. So, you can't be too mad. You can't be too mad at how this all turned out. Because this is what you set yourself up for. This is what you've created. And so there's a responsibility that you have in helping to raise these kids. As a foster parent, I look at a lot of these kids that, you know, it's like, yo, when we get them, we have no idea. Most of the time, we don't know a whole lot about either one of their parents, whether it's their mama, their daddy, or what's in there. But what we do know is that something ain't happened correctly in order to have these kids, get these kids put in foster care. Come on now. But for him to talk about his daughter in that way was crazy to me, because I don't know, it's weird. It's weird. I've heard some rough things come from my mama. My dad has never said anything reckless or out the way to her. He's always been an encouraging one. But my mom's ain't never go that far as where Corey Holcomb went, as far as talking about his daughter. Some of these parents of some of these foster kids now, I feel like they might not say it out loud, or if they do, we don't be there to hear it. But at the same time, when they have their actions saying, yeah, we don't care that much, especially if they don't call, they don't text, they don't check in on them or anything like that. Like, these things need to happen. Otherwise, you know, it's like, what are you doing? Are you even trying to get them back? Or is this just an extended babysitting situation that you have where you still trying to, like, I'm gonna try to be in my kid's life, but only when it's convenient for me. Only during holidays, only during, you know, birthdays and stuff like that, in which I can look good and show up with some gifts so that they can so you can see that daddy loves you. That's wild to me. But I've seen some things. I've seen the son and the father get to fighting at the gym over a basketball. I was distraught. I had zero idea on what to do with that. All I know is I've never thought to buck up at my father for any reason. I've never had that thought process to buck up at my dad. I've been taller than my dad for a long time and never had a thought process to buck up at him. Like, but to see it happen, I'm sitting there like, this is what y'all doing? What type? I'm talking about, and this ain't even, like, when I say buck up, you know, it's one thing to be chest to chest. It's another thing to be out here. It's another thing to be out here throwing punches in public. Come on, man. There's plenty of TikTok videos where you see, hey, I'm going to show you a lesson. I'm going to show you a lesson. And then the son, like, just pick up the daddy and slam them on the table. I don't know. At that point, like, I tell you this. If one of these kids felt like they could swing on me, I gotta win. As a father, you gotta win. It ain't no letting the kid win, because at that point they can't tell you nothing. And then now it's two adults, it's two grown men in the house. You can't lose to your son or any younger male that you taking care of, because at that point you gotta move. It sounds crazy, but at the same time, I just don't see a scenario in which you can tell your kid or your son at this point, hey, go take that trash out. And if he was like, nah, what you gonna say? Take that trash out before I whoop you up? No, I beat your ass again. You gotta win. I still work out just in case we get another boy up in here. Just in case. I don't want them to feel like there's any chance that they could just run up and be like, yo, I'm gonna try you. Don't just stand too close to me. I'll knock you out. I will still knock you out. Don't play with me. They had a little 15-year-old that we had back when he was like 11 or 12. He's standing next to me like, I'm almost as tall as you, Mr. Jason. Almost. You tall enough to get knocked out. I want you to understand, like, if I have to show these kids, like, all right, if you think you strong enough and you big enough, let's go play basketball. We'll put you down in the post and I'm going to back you down. Kapakow, kapakow. And if you can keep me from backing you down, then you might have a shot. Most of the time they can't. Your little 130 pounds ain't going to be enough, bucko. Not going to be enough. You know what? Let me do this right quick. I saw a video in which, speaking of stuff that just ain't gonna be right, it ain't gonna be right. There was this wedding video. I don't know if you saw it, but there was a gospel singer that was singing at this couple's wedding. And when the gospel singer came out, the woman absolutely lost it. She absolutely lost it. Like, when I tell you, she went and was hollering and screaming, and then went and got down on her knees and hugged the singer around his waist. What we not gonna do now? What we not about to do? I don't care who it is. It can be Smokey Norville. It can be James Cleveland. Hezekiah Walker. I don't care. Name them. It does not matter. If on my wedding day, my wife got so excited that she got down on her knees and hugged another man around his waist, in which she was down on her knees, which means her breast would have been touching his thigh. Look, if your wife's breast touch another man's thigh, it's over with. You're way too close to the meat. It's over with. Listen, if you, it ain't got to be your wife. If your girl breast is touching any man's thigh, she's single. It's over. You single. You just didn't know it. He's standing there looking goofy like, you gonna stop hugging this man around his waist? Like, come on now, get up, baby. Get up. And she's still like, I'm talking about, she's hugging the hell out of him, and Buddy just singing away. Whatever he was singing. No, we not. Mm-mm. That'd have been the quickest wedding ever. See, this is something you gotta discuss before you start dropping those nuptials. You gotta discuss these things. Hey, do you ever have, like, put this on the questionnaire. How do you feel about hugging people around their waist on your knees? If she cool with it, break up, fam. Break up, fam. You are not getting ready to get on your knees in front of another man. This is not going to happen. No, absolutely not. There's no situation in which this is okay. There should never be a situation in which any woman that has a significant other should have a breast touching another man's thigh or knees if they got long breasts. It's not going to happen. That's a huge no-no. There's no justifying that. She can't just, like, this is the wedding day. You think that you getting ready to just be like, oh, I got beside myself. I'm sorry. And I don't know if it's enough sorry. You did that in front of you did that in front of everybody. You know all my cousins ain't ever gonna forget that. What is this? Oh man. Like it's like that blew me. That was a no-go. Like I was like, wow. On the wedding day. Let's not act like there's anything okay with that. Let there be no justification in the comment section of this video. We can't do it. There's also this other video that's been floating around about this pastor. It's this lady pastor who felt like she got an anointed wolf. Big Josh Bowling, what up, though? She got an anointed wolf. And what she's doing is sleeping with members of her congregation who are struggling with infertility because she has been anointed to be able to have kids. Well, she ain't hustling out there. She hustling that box for real. Wow. That is hilarious. That's almost as funny as Miracle Spring Water. She got healing powers in that wolf. and she gonna heal infertility. That's crazy. That is wild. Like I don't know why she thought that would be okay, or why that would even be anything close to being something that anybody, any of the ladies in the congregation would be cool with. You're like, you know what, just bring your man on over here. I get him back right. Just leave him with me for a week here. I will layeth of these hands. I will layeth of this box upon his. And you're going to be able to have a kid after I get him tuned up right. Come on. Come on, Pastor Veronica. That's her name. Pastor Veronica. Yo, people out here doing the most. I don't know about any of that. Like that's very worrisome that you out here using the pulpit to hustle that box. You shouldn't do these things. You're giving the church a bad name. Deion Coles wanted to know where that church was and if they was accepting any members. Any more members. But there was some, you know, that was crazy. And there was some other crazy stuff in the news in which, you know, I hate to repeat anything that Candace Owens has to say, right? She's not one of those people that says anything that I agree with, but at the same time, she kind of pissed me off a little bit when she made the comment on some show about there being if there was a woman pilot on a plane that she was getting ready to take off from. What up, bro? If there was a lady pilot that she would not want to take that flight because she would feel like that lady was not qualified, like she was part of the DEI program. What's up, Deb? Like, all right, Candace Owens. And the people that she was talking to was like, you know what? I hate to say that. They played the clip and then they were like, I hate to say that, but here's what I don't want to have happen. I don't want to I would feel a certain kind of way if a black guy was a pilot on the plane, because I would feel like he wasn't qualified. Appreciate those likes, bro. I would feel like the black person wasn't qualified. Just give me my strong-jawed white guy, my strong-jawed white pilot, so I could feel more comfortable. And I listened to the video and I was thinking to myself, like, I don't know if I've ever gotten on a plane and thought to myself, this person, whether it was man, woman, black, white, Hispanic, Asian, or whatever, is not qualified to fly this plane wherever it is that we go. That this person, black, white, or whatever, man or woman, was like, they didn't pass everything that they needed to pass in order to be able to get their pilot's license to fly the damn plane. Because here's what I do know, is that any of the shareholders for any of these airlines, I don't give a damn if it's Delta, Spirit, Frontier, Alaska Airlines, where the doors be falling off of their planes, Korean Air, it does not matter. The last thing that they want to have happen in any situation is for the plane to not finish like it's supposed to. The flights are supposed to finish correctly. Everything is supposed to go well, and they're not going to put Jason damn Brown in the damn cockpit and be like, hey, you got your driver's license? What you doing on Friday? You want to fly a plane? That shit's not going to happen. And so for them to think that any of these airlines will put unqualified people in a cockpit and take the chance of 100 or 200 people not getting to their destination as planned is a 100% a no-go. That is crazy. But what you can't say is, oh, I'm not racist and I'm not that kind of person, so I don't want you to think that I'm that kind of person. But if I saw a black person in the cockpit, I would feel like he wasn't qualified. But I'm not racist. You have lost your mind if you're going to let that stuff come out of your mouth and think that somebody's not going to feel like you're not racist, that you're there's no way this person can be racist. He well within his rights to feel like any black person, just by looking at him, is not qualified. I should question those credentials because this person is fat. Are you kidding me? Because he doesn't have a square G and he might not be able to make this plane take off and land like you're supposed to. What are we questioning? Come on, man. Like that is wild to me that they just pulling folks off the streets and putting them in the cockpit. Hey, what size suit you wear? All right, bet. What hat you think you could get your head in this hat? All right, cool. Go ahead and put your head in this little hat and you know how to drive? All right. Yeah, I got this plane that you could drive, that you could fly. Like, that's not how this works. You need like thousands of hours before you get behind the little steering wheel of a plane, before you even get higher. Like, you need thousands and thousands of hours. There's not no weekend course that you can just take at ITT Tech or DeVry and think you can just hop behind the wheel of a plane. Hell, you will get fired up. You will get fined in a different kind of way, even if you are out here flying in a damn crop duster without a particular license, let alone any type of passenger plane. Come on, man, listen. Let's not be foolish here. And you think the airline's going to risk, like, they might not give a damn about the people that's on the plane, but they care about the money that they make when the plane take off and land. That part I know. That part I am 100% sure of. So if you feel like any of these airlines going to be like, hey, you know what? I know that Jamal done been to all kinds of flight schools and this and that, but he ain't qualified. Let him fly anyway. Nah, that's not how this works. That's not how this works. Man, I was so mad about that because I'm looking at dude like, and then you want to tell me that you're not racist? Oh, yes, you are. Yes, that's what that means. Because what's not going to happen is, You see plenty of times in which, and you hear these stories about, I interviewed a veterinarian and she has her own practice and she's had times in which she's walked into the room in order to help out somebody with their sick animal. And they was like, hey, can you get the doctor? She was like, I am the doctor. The doctor. This is my practice. Oh, yeah, but is there a dude available to help me with my problem with my dog? And I'm looking at like, you can leave. Why do you feel like I'm not qualified to do this? Like, this whole building is me. Why would you feel like I'm not qualified? Because of what I look like, you know what? Eat a sack of baby armpits. I wasn't on TikTok. I don't know how much the cussing that they allow me to do before I start getting flagged. So I've been chilling a little bit. But y'all know what I mean. Like, this is crazy. This is crazy that people actually had these thought processes of when a black doctor walks into a room, they like, hey, what are you doing? You're not the doctor. No, yes, hell I am. I went to school for this. I finished at the top of my damn class, but why do I gotta bring in my degrees? Why do I gotta bring in my paperwork with me? Why can't I just be that person that know what the hell I'm doing? Because I don't look like what you think I should look like. In regards to the play, yes, there was a comedian that made a joke back around the time when like 9/11 was still fairly fresh. And dude was like, I probably would feel some kind of way, and it might have been Jamie Foxx. I might feel some kind of way if I got on the plane and I didn't see the pilot, but the first voice that I heard come over to Intercom was like, Welcome to Delta Airlines Flight 467. Like, he was like, yo, I would feel some kind of way. 9/11 just happened. If that's the voice you hear, hello, please buckle your seatbelt. And if you, the seatbelt lights will come on, there's no smoking in the bathrooms. Like, yes, that would be, at that time, people might be justified in feeling like, all right, I feel some kind of way about being on the plane because this just happened. There is nothing that says anything about a woman being able to take off and land like she's supposed to. Anything negative about that, about a black person being able to take off and safely land. So why is this an issue outside of any other personal bias that you have against this subset of people? You guys have lost your minds. But before I get out of here, speaking of people that's lost their minds, right? There was a lot of people the Super Bowl is set. We got Kansas City and we got San Francisco. And there was a lot of people not wanting Kansas City to win, and it had nothing to do with Patrick Mahomes, Travis Kelce, Andy Reid, or anything of the sort. There was a guy on the radio this morning that said it's Super Bowl 58. I was like, that's pretty clever. They did not want Kansas City to win because of Taylor Swift. And I don't know why. Taylor Swift doesn't bother me. Was the swag surfing a little cringy? Sure. Absolutely. Why not? Whatever. Like, I was like, ha, look at her. But I wasn't the people that have a super problem with Taylor Swift being shown on the broadcast, they all sound like, hold on a second. They all sound like, I'll be goddamn, they keep putting that damn Taylor Swift on the goddamn TV, and they, every time they get the opportunity, they put Taylor Swift on there, and I can't watch football because they got Taylor Swift on there. I just want to watch football. I don't want to see Taylor Swift. Now, if you want to watch, to put the men back on that TV right there, I'm glad that damn Taylor Swift ain't dating nobody from Alabama, because I want to roll tide without no damn Taylor Swift. Hey, man. They showed Taylor Swift like 3 times. In 3 hours. It's okay. You're not missing nothing. What you want to look at when they are not in the middle of a play. Patrick Mahomes dropped back to pass. Look at Taylor Swift. And then you miss a whole damn play. Like, that's not how this works, Ricky Morgan. What's happening? That's not how this whole thing works. Like, it's people that get paid a whole lot of money to keep a broadcast lively. And if they feel like they can hold on to a whole bunch of viewers by showing Taylor Swift, or that thought process that, hey, at some point in time, in between plays, after a touchdown, before a kickoff, coming back or whatever, that they want to cha-cha to a Taylor Swift. Okay. That's them. As long as I'm not missing no plays because of her. I don't care. She doesn't bother me in that way. I don't know why it bothers people in that way. And now I'm not a Swiftie. I'm not in the Beehive. I'm not part of the Navy. I'm not part of any of these little groups of celebrities that of people that I'm not a LeBronian. Like, none of these things. But damn, Like, I'm not gonna be like, yo, I feel like Taylor Swift is good for football. Well, she don't do nothing. She's just there. She's showing up. she trying to be Travis Kelce's Coretta. Yeah, I'm gonna get in trouble for that one. I'm gonna get in trouble for that, but she there. She is showing up every time she can. If she hit it, the game gonna be on TV, she gonna be there. She is gonna be there. And I know people have star fatigue. There was a whole bunch of people that hated Michael Jordan. Michael Jordan was running through the league. All my cousins hated MJ. I was trying to figure out, like, why you hate him? It's because he won all the time. There was a point in time, I feel like, where, you know, like Lil Wayne and Kanye West and all them folks was on the radio all the time. Like, he was on there all the damn time. And people was like, yo, all right, that's enough. Taylor Swift on the TV all the time. And if it's like, if she's not your get down, the 4 seconds that they have her on TV, I mean, they not even, it's not like they even playing her music. Most of the time, if I'm gonna be 100% honest. I know who she is because they put her on the TV and be like, look, that's Taylor Swift. That right there, that's Taylor Swift. But if she was in Lenox Mall without security, I wouldn't know who she was. I would have no idea. I walk right past her. Well, this is another person. Don't get all bent out of shape. Look, there's a whole lot of celebrities, especially a lot of these new ones that I walk right past. And I'm like, if they didn't have security or a whole bunch of jewelry on, wouldn't think twice. And living in Atlanta, there's a whole lot of people that dress like that that ain't spectacular for anything other than being able to dress like that. But I don't be caring. I don't care. As long as I'm not missing no plays because they got the camera up in the skybox. Do I want to see her swag surf again? No. No, I don't. I'd rather not. I would much rather not. But damn. Yeah, Super Bowl set. Who y'all team? I need y'all to pick right now. Like, I know that most of y'all teams are already out, and now you're just picking the next team. And there's a lot of 49er fans, a lot of new 49er fans. It's like, I'm just picking the 49ers because Taylor Swift ain't cheering for them. And there's a whole bunch of people that's like, hey, I'm picking the Chiefs because I'm a Swiftie. And I get that too. My team been out, so I'm trolling both fan bases. You're welcome. Hey, good people, that has come to the end of my show. I want to thank everybody for tuning in. This episode was brought to you by the 710 Print Shop. Looking for all your custom shirt needs. Anything like this Brown family versus anybody or whatever your family name versus everybody. You can order it on the website, www.the710printshop.com. That's www.the710printshop. I want to thank everybody for tuning in. Y'all be safe out in these streets. I am out. Bing. Boom. And that's for you. Bye, y'all. Yeah.